You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
From communion with the dead to pumpkins and pranks, Halloween is a patchwork holiday stitched together with cultural, religious, and occult traditions that span centuries. It all began with the Celts, a people whose culture had spread across Europe more than 2,000 years ago. October 31st was the day they celebrated the end of the harvest season in a festival called Samhain. That night also marked the Celtic New Year and was considered a time between years, a magical time when the ghost of the dead walked the earth.
It was the time when the veil between death and life was supposed to be at its thinnest.
On Samhain, the villagers gathered and lit huge bonfires to drive the dead back to the spirit world and keep them away from the living. But as the Catholic Church's influence grew in Europe, it frowned on the pagan rituals like Samhain. In the 7th century, the Vatican began to merge it with a church-sanctioned holiday. So November 1st was designated All Saints' Day to honor martyrs and the deceased faithful.
Both of these holidays had to do with the afterlife and about survival after death. It was a calculated move on the part of the church to bring more people into the fold.
All Saints' Day was known then as Hallowmas. Hallow means holy or saintly, so the translation is roughly Mass of the Saints. The night before, October 31st, was All Hallows' Eve, which gradually morphed into Halloween. The holiday came to America with the wave of Irish immigrants during the potato famine of the 1840s. They brought several of their holiday customs with them, including bobbing for apples and playing tricks on neighbors, like removing gates from the front of houses. The young pranksters wore masks so they wouldn't be recognized. But over the years, the tradition of harmless tricks grew into outright vandalism.
Back in the 1930s, it really became a dangerous holiday. I mean, there was such hooliganism and vandalism. Trick-or-treating was originally an extortion deal. Give us candy or we'll trash your house.
Storekeepers and neighbors began giving treats or bribes to stop the tricks, and children were encouraged to travel door-to-door for treats as an alternative to troublemaking. By the late 30s, trick-or-treat became the holiday greeting.
For Halloween, but now let's get on to something very serious, very serious guest, Detective Jim Rothstein. I'm going to recuse myself this hour so Eddie and Jim can have the floor uninterrupted, but it's going to be a chilling interview that Eddie's going to conduct with retired New York Police Department Detective Jim Rothstein. Jim's been on our program before, and we're very fortunate and privileged to have him back with us. Eddie, tell us why Jim is on this evening.
You know, I'd like to make a very quick statement before we bring the detective on. A lot of people laugh about Halloween and say, you know, we laugh at these little ghosts. The devil is a red man with a pitchfork. Well, you know, people, we might look at that and make light of it, but the powers of the world, the powers that be, many of them do not make light of that. They believe in demons and the devil and think he is real. And I'd like to introduce my guest tonight, our guest tonight, Inspector Jim Rothstein, who was a career New York police detective. He's worked in what's a place called the Minnesota Strip, busting up rings of pedophilia, drug pushers, people that sell children into, you know, sex slavery. This guy here set up the sting that arrested the serial killer, Son of Sam, a.k.a. the 44 Bulldog Killer. And that's just one of many. I'm going to have to really rock and roll because we're running out of time, but we're going to have Inspector Rothstein on again. Inspector Rothstein, welcome to the show, my man. Welcome to the show. You're one of my very favorite guests we've ever had on Cesspool. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Well, thank you for having me on. I didn't arrest the Son of Sam killer, but I was very deeply involved. In fact, I had the original information 10 years before already.
You know, Inspector, tell the people a little bit. We have a lot of new people in our audience, a lot of young people. They may have never heard of the Son of Sam, 44 Bulldog Killer. Tell the people a little bit about the Son of Sam.
Well, it started originally when we got the first information on it. I had an informant that took me to Untermeyer Park that showed me where they were sacrificing the German shepherds and kids and doing these satanic ritualistic stuff in Yonkers, New York. And that ended up being the Son of Sam. But the original information took me there, and I physically was shown a building that where this stuff would occur. And in this building, there were many drawings, satanic. At the time, I didn't know anything about it. I knew that because of the work I had been doing in fighting human trafficking and pedophilia, that we had heard about it, but we had never physically seen a location where this was happening. That's how I first got into it.
Well, you know, Inspector, let me ask you a question. In your experience, do you think the Son of Sam, this may be a rhetorical question, was he involved in Satan worship, to the best of your knowledge, into the occult?
Oh, yes, most definitely. There was a whole group of them up in that area, up in Yonkers, Bronx, New York. They had a whole operation going up there, and it had been going on. I believe it came over with the Process Church back in the early 60s. Anyhow, our investigation showed that later on, when we actually started investigating this stuff and looking into it, and it took years, and then ten years later, in fact, they arrested Berkowitz, who turned out to be what they called the Son of Sam. But he was only a very small part of it. In fact, in Maury Terry's book and in our investigations, we found that Berkowitz at the most had killed two people, and the rest were killed by two other people that we know of who actually came from Minnesota, North Dakota.
I wonder how many, altogether, you may not know this, about how many people were killed in this ring with the Process Church with the Son of Sam was involved in, Inspector. You know, it was quite a few, but quite a bit more than two, though, wasn't it? Oh, well, I hear the music coming, Inspector. We're going to go to a break. Can't wait to get you back, though, after the break.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Oh! Who said I see walking in these woods?
Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood.
Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Well, people, we're back. We have this is Eddie the Bombardier Bill right here. We have one of my favorite guests of all time here. We have Inspector Jim Rothstein, retired New York City Police Department cop who walked. He started is just a plain beat cop. And what Inspector Rothstein has told me in the past, the Minnesota Strip, an area in New York City where children from the Midwest were brought in because of their good looks, tall, blonde, blue eyes. And how he noticed that they were being farmed out and sold like cattle to rich people, to politicians in Washington, D.C. I want to briefly mention some of the cases that the inspector has worked in. And I want to tell you the reason I like to bring him on. But first of all, it's for our Halloween show. And this has to do with Halloween. But I'd like people to know the seriousness of the point I'm trying to make is how evil is alive and well. Satan is alive and well, and he's here in the United States. No one I know in my whole life has ever worked closer in rousting out evil, just pure evil, than Jim Rothstein. One of the things he's involved in, he actually had an audience with the Pope, with another priest. I will get him to talk about that in a minute. When it's the Detective Rothstein worked in rooting out a pedophilia in the Catholic Church. He also, I want him to talk about what I call the highway of death. And I'll get him to talk about that in just a minute. But anyway, that's the main reason I had him on tonight. And so, Inspector Rothstein, I would like to go back, if you will, sum up the Untermyer part. Just go ahead and wrap that up, and I'm going to go into some other questions in just a minute. Tell us the rest
of
the episode.
Well, what happened was, about the fourth killing, a detective came to me and he told me, he says he thinks they had a serial killer going, and it turned out to be the son of Sam. But about a year, that was 1978, but about a year before that, they started moving west along what we call Interstate 9094. In the Son of Sam killings, they were credited with 8. There were more. But what's happened since then, just the other day, another young boy here in Minnesota was in the river. There's what we call the Smiley Face Killer, which is an offshoot of this that another detective from New York came upon. And he worked with a professor out of St. Cloud State here in Minnesota, and they wrote a book on it called The Smiley Face Killers, where they actually documented that these killings took place, and that's up to 30 now. And then there were other, other killings that were associated with this group over the years.
Now, Inspector, what was that highway again? Did you say 9095?
9094. North and south. 9094, and you could add Interstate 80 to it, too. But it's that northern-western route.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, don't these killings, they happen pretty much every year, and they spike. The number of killings rise around Halloween, the latter part of October, early part of November, or am I imagining that?
No, that's very true, because at one time when I was investigating this, and just up to a few years ago, we actually had witnesses, we had documentation on how these, it was based on different stars and all the cult stuff that you can think of, the worship that's associated, but it peaks by the moon and stuff around Halloween time. And if you know that's time and you look at the movement and the victims, it gains its momentum right at the crest of that. It can vary anywhere from a week or two before and after Halloween.
You know, another strange thing, Inspector, the Inspector and I have talked many times, we're friends. If I remember right, Inspector, you said the victims are usually young men. Is that right?
Yes. The smiley face killers are usually the victims are young men, and they end up dead in the river.
That's right. They're always near, or are they always either near the river or in the water, or all of them in the water? Because that's really strange to me.
Most are in the water. Most are in the water. And there's a big thing that goes on with that that's been explained to me. The part of the worship is that they actually get a sexual thrill of watching these young men die. And most of them have been drinking. It's a whole process that happens before these kids die.
And, you know, Inspector, you said that it originally started kind of what I call the Eastern Seaboard, the highway you mentioned originating out of Boston, Massachusetts, if I'm not mistaken. But the latest killing, you were telling me there was a killing recently right there in Minnesota, which is far west of Boston. And you told me, I believe, that they broke the mold in this murder, this killing, and that it was a black victim, if I'm correct.
Yes, that is true. And other than that, going way back, John Carr, which was the son of Sam Carr, actually died in Minot, North Dakota years ago. But we know that they eventually settled in Kanab, Utah, because I had a victim come to me. Oh, this had to be 10 years ago. She spent 3 weeks here telling me exactly what was going on, how it worked. And gave me many of the things that were involved in this whole subculture.
You know, Inspector, I'm just blown away. I'm almost overwhelmed because I know so much about your work. It would take, literally, we could probably talk about it for 30, 40 hours straight. But, you know, it's really hard to know where to start because you've covered so much stuff. But this evil we're talking about, we talked about is people, Inspector Rothstein, he mentioned the Process Church. The inspector told me that Berkovitz, a.k.a. the son of Sam, Jeffrey Dahmer, of latter fame, you know, I think he's been dead about 10 years, Charles Manson, the killer of Sharon Tate, Abigail Folger, I believe, back about 1969, 70, when I was still in the Army. These people, Inspector, aren't they all connected to this, what we call this perverted church called the process church, some kind of way?
Yes, but there were also different sects that broke off of that. You also take in Wisconsin with the Jeffrey Dahmer case, you had the Father Coons who was murdered, and then there was Malachi Martin and Father Fiore who had started exposing this, and Coons, the priest, actually got killed. And eventually Malachi ended up dying in New York.
Malachi, his last dying breath, he said that he was pushed down some stairs in a wheelchair, if I'm not mistaken. Was there a group called The Way? Familiar with a group, a perverted group called they call themselves The Way, Inspector?
I had heard of them, but no, I was not involved in any investigations into that.
Well, let me ask you this. To your knowledge, Are you familiar with any high up names, say for instance Hollywood stars, big time media, big time politicians that have been ever involved in the process church? Well, people, I hear the music again. I hate to bust.
Leave you in suspense with that question as we go into this next break. We'll come back with the one and only Detective Jim Rothstein, former NYPD detective, and he's gotten into some. Very legitimate evil, and we're talking about
that. And we're going to start naming names soon, folks.
Well, we'll be back. We'll see. We'll be back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
In a special video message for his supporters in Jerusalem, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump said that his administration would make America and Israel safe again and promised he would stand side by side with the Jewish people. Together, we will stand up to enemies like Iran bent on destroying Israel and her people, Trump declared in the taped message. CNN reports that the crowd of roughly 200,000 people, some wearing Trump's familiar Make America Great Again golf caps, cheered and chanted Trump, Trump, and lock her up. Vice presidential nominee Mike Pence, who also appeared in the video recorded presentation, referred to Jerusalem as the eternal, undivided capital of the Jewish people and the Jewish state, and described Israel as our strongest ally in the region and our most cherished ally in the world. Donald Trump and I stand with Israel because Israel's fight is our fight, Pence maintained. Israel's cause is our cause, and Israel's fate is our fate. Neither Trump nor Pence explained how those assurances can be reconciled with Trump's America First campaign theme, which on the surface appears to have been inspired by George Washington's familiar counsel that the United States should avoid entangling alliances and passionate attachments to foreign countries.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I took my troubles down to Madam Rue. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a pad down a very potent vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9.
All right, folks, Eddie the Bombardier Miller controlling this interview. I'm James Edwards. Just to remind you, our guest is Detective Jim Rothstein, retired detective from the New York Police Department. And Eddie made mention of this earlier. He has had a very high-profile career that has seemed to focus in many ways on some of the most legitimate evil that you could imagine. And we thought that it would be timely right before Halloween to talk about this. Certainly there are political evils that we deal with, and then there are evils the likes of which most of us will never know. And Jim Rothstein has spent a career investigating these evils and bringing its perpetrators to justice. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Eddie.
Inspector Rothstein, we're back again. Glad to have you back. I have about 10 minutes, so I'll try to do the best I can and organize. There's so much to cover. But our producer and one of our great friends, along with me, would like to mention, get you to mention MENA, Arkansas, the role that the Clintons played, the role that the Bushes played, bringing in drugs from South America into Arkansas. So if you can, Inspector, tell us what you know about that.
Yes, it's very interesting that you bring that up, because at one time a writer by the name of John Cummings, who wrote with Terry Reed the book Compromised, I was living up in Maine, and they sent me a copy of it to critique it before it was published, and then they brought me down to New York and treated me to dinner, and I had gone over the whole book and told them, you know, that the book was factual and what was going on. And what it had to do with was when the money laundering from South America, it wasn't only money laundering, but they would bring money down, counterfeit money, to destabilize countries so they could overthrow them. But also, drugs were coming back with it. They weren't going to do something like this without making money. But this money had to be converted, so what we call laundered. And what they were doing was dumping the drug money. It was Barry Seal was one of the top people involved, and, you know, he ended up being killed when they didn't need him. They got rid of him. But, yes, this money was coming into Arkansas, and, again, I had had informants in it, even to the point where I had been told one time, I called it the nod, where a hooker in New York, I walked out of a bar, and she gave me the nod, and she told me that the place I was watching at 321 East 48th Street in New York was a government drug operation. And lo and behold, it was true, and it ended up being the drugs coming in from Colombia and other parts of South America, and later on the stuff with, you know, they called it the stuff out in Nicaragua and all that, if there was a name for it. But, yes, we had all of that. And it was a major operation. The numbers were around $40 million a month were being dumped into MENA, Arkansas. MENA was an airport or area. And even a young boy, the information we had that some young boy found a sea bag full of money and ended up getting killed over it. But if
two of them
look at the book,
I think two of them, there was a matter of fact, there was two young boys, they on a railroad track covered with a tarp, they were run over by a train over there in MENA, Arkansas. And, you know, an interesting thing about that, one of the banks involved, Inspector Rothstein, I'm sure you'll know, was the Union Bank in Omaha, Nebraska, of the Franklin cover-up fame. It was talked about, covered extensively in the Franklin cover-up. By the way, Inspector Rothstein, I didn't mention this earlier, but he has also worked in the state task force, not just a New York City cop, which that's an honor enough, but he's had many connections all over, not all just in New York, that's not the city, but the state and all over the world. He's actually talked on the telephone with the Pope. This Union Bank in Omaha, Nebraska, Inspector, were they laundering the money coming in from MENA? Weren't they one of the banks that were in, that was connected to the high up operatives in the GOP? I call him Daddy Bush, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North were involved in this stuff. But what do you know about the Union Bank? I won't stay on that long because we don't have too much time. Well, if you know anything about it, chime in on that.
See, the whole situation with that came when I received the information about the underground pedophile network working out of Lincoln, Nebraska, which we gave to John DeCamp. And then John DeCamp did the big expose with Larry King and all of them people, which went up to Omaha, back down to Washington. And this was a huge investigation that I was involved with. But I had gotten the original information to critique it before it was given to John DeCamp. So, yes.
By the way, that senator, just for the audience, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Inspector. Just for the audience's benefit, that's John DeCamp that the inspector mentions. He was a state Republican senator, veteran from Vietnam. He also worked, John DeCamp, Inspector, he also worked with Bill Colby, who was the director of the CIA at one time. Isn't that right? And they worked together along with you, busting up pedophilia rings. Isn't that correct?
Yes, Bill, and then Bill Colby one night took a canoe ride, and that was the end of him. But yes, Bill Colby.
That's right.
And Bill Colby had started talking about this and actively was involved in going after it, and that was the end of him. That canoe ride finished him right off. Yes, because that investigation, actually, I had started, come to think of it, this month 50 years ago. When a New York cop was killed by a pimp, what happened was I was assigned then what we call cut loose, where I went all over the United States. I had no limits to who, what, or where I went. And that's when we found out how this whole underground network operated. And the Omaha, Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska stuff was just unreal. It's still to this day hasn't been completely resolved.
You know, people, I've mentioned this book on the air over the years, but if you get a chance, you do need to read the Franklin cover-up. And Inspector Rothstein played an instrumental part having that book written by also by the Senator John DeCamp out of Nebraska. It just goes beyond anything that you can get your brain around it, unless you're a Satan worshiper. But the point I would like to make is that, and I was going to bring this up, this covers this Satan worship, this pedophilia, these drugs. They're under the occult and evil. You find drugs. You find the abuse of women, the abuse of children sexually. You find them sacrificed to the devil. And listen, it crosses both so-called party lines, the GOP and the Democratic Party. President George Bush, Pappy Bush, was the head of the CIA, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to get the inspector to correct me. At the time MENA was going on, head of the CIA, flying drugs in, a Republican, mind you, flying drugs into MENA, Arkansas, dropping the drugs off with a Democratic governor of the state of Arkansas, who later became president of the United States. Now, did you see this evil, am I right, Inspector, that evil permeates at the highest levels of our government? It goes up to Washington, D.C. and above. And I mentioned the banks when you and I were having a private conversation. Goes to the banks and above. Comment on some of the stuff I've talked about, Inspector. If I haven't confused you anymore, I've confused myself.
Well, what you have to remember, there's one thing that comes in with this that makes all of this possible. It's called human compromise. When you talk about trafficking and you hear these so-called experts who talk about human trafficking, it's the biggest fraud that's being perpetrated on the people of the United States. They don't go into the human compromise. We actually discovered And I personally confronted the man and served him with a subpoena for the New York State Select Committee on Crime, where they actually compromised the most powerful people in the world. And I physically was there, confronted him, and spoke to, you know, old Roy Cohen, who was one of the best operators there ever was when it came to that, both for compromising and getting people off. But you could figure, my estimate is that 35 to 40% of all power brokers, politicians, have been compromised. And like I said, I saw these people firsthand. Some of them I even confronted, and I was at hearings in Washington, D.C., where things like this were used to compromise big-name politicians.
We'll have to come right back after the music, Inspector, and we will start up when we come back right where you left off. People, this is the great one and only Inspector Jim Rothstein. So fortunate to have him tonight on Halloween. We will hit the high points when we come back.
Our country is at a crossroads. Election Day is looming, and the choice between the two candidates couldn't be more clear. Do you want a strong leader who will secure our borders and stop the flow of illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists? Do you want a proven businessman who will implement smart trade deals that will bring jobs back to our country? Do you want a man's man who will protect our God-given Second Amendment rights from an oppressive federal government? Do you want a sensible White House that will work with traditionalist heads of state who should be our natural allies? Do you want a president who will safeguard the interests of Christians? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then there's only one choice for you, Donald Trump for president. Make no mistake about it, America will not survive a Supreme Court stacked with radical extremists handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Do the right thing. On November 8th, vote Trump.
This ad is paid for by William Johnson, a farmer and a deplorable, through the American National Super PAC, and is not authorized by Donald Trump or his committee.
Tune in to Liberty News Radio's Political Roundtable 2016, special broadcast of election night coverage on Tuesday, November 8th, features seasoned talk stars, newsmakers, and political commentators together in a live radio and video simulcast, providing news the networks refuse to use. Tune in to our live presentation on election night, Tuesday, November 8th, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern on LNR's affiliate stations, Internet Stream, Roku Channel, or the Unlimited Listen Line. Visit LibertyNewsRadio.com. Jesse Lee Peterson, Vice Presidential Candidate Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, Larry Pratt, Keith Allen, Richard Mack, and surprise guests will report the significant events of this historic election. Liberty News Radio provides the opportunity for constitutional conservatives to gather and share in the excitement when the next president of the United States is announced. Tuesday night, November 8th, election night coverage. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Mine.
Okay, people, we're back. Sorry about that early. Got in there a little bit early. We have the one and only Inspector Jim Rothstein. He started as a New York cop, worked at the highest levels of the state. He has worked in conjunction with federal task forces in pedophilia, human slave trafficking, drug dealing. Inspector, we only have about 5 minutes left, unfortunately, but I do so want to get you back again. We talked about that earlier today. But, Inspector, I'd like to ask you to tell the audience some of the big famous people that you've helped bust. If I'm not mistaken, Inspector, weren't you in on the busting out of Cardinal Spellman here in the United States?
Oh, yes. The Cardinal, I'm glad you brought up the church thing. I'll give you that one real quick. What I ended up doing is having all these high-level informants, and to make sure, like at that time, Spellman was one of the most powerful men in New York. And for me to take on this pedophile extortion, human compromise thing, I needed him to leave me alone. So my informant, Skull Murphy, Ed Murphy, gave me one of his victims, a man known as Jack the Sailor, who had been a victim of the Cardinals and, in fact, got caught with the Cardinals' shoes and was accused of stealing them. And when they went to court, the good Cardinals stepped in and got him cut loose. But, you know, last month was the anniversary. You brought up the thing with Pope, with the Catholic Church. Yes.
Right.
It was on September 18th, 1978, 10 days before the Pope died. I and my partner, Matty Rosenthal, were with Father Bruce Ritter when Pope John Paul I called Ritter to give him a special dispensation and for me and my partner, Rosenthal, to be the two detectives to clean out the Vatican Church, or clean it up and straighten out the Vatican Bank, because the whole Vatican had been compromised. And I personally saw the documents of Jesus Angleton, and then there was the Bella Dodd testimony where the communists had infiltrated the Vatican, but Pope John Paul I was going to clean that up. 10 days later, he was dead, and we ended up getting the informant who told us how, and that was why he got killed, because it would have destroyed their whole human compromise project.
My God, Inspector, you can't, you know what? You can't write that for a movie. You couldn't write that for fiction. People, we're talking about, I don't know if you heard that or not. The inspector had sat in with a priest in one of his detective buddies, had an audience with the Pope, the most powerful religious man in the world. They were given permission to root out, evil in the Catholic Church. Inspector was in on busting Cardinal Spellman. I mean, you don't get any bigger political figure than Cardinal Spellman. Inspector, right quickly, do you have any knowledge of any other high-up people in politics that you were personally, you don't have to name names, that have been compromised and have paid the consequences for the pedophilia, drugs, et cetera?
Oh, yes. Like a many, many of them. In fact, they're public, so I can use their name in the thing that was written by about Skull Murphy, Ed Skull Murphy. Admiral Church and Forrestal committed suicide because he was extorting them.
And that's as high as you get.
No, they're higher. There were much higher people. We had prime ministers. We had... oh, yes, we had a lot of big name. In fact, one guy was going to run for president till a night at Uncle Charlie's, when, which was a renowned place in New York. And that night he found out that he was not going to be president after we walked in on him. And he called up Roy Cohen. I don't know if you remember him, the lawyer from the McCarthy hearings and that. And I never forget that night because... as he was explaining to Cohen how abusive we were for coming in on him, all of a sudden he starts looking and going, yes, yes, yes. And he says, I would like to apologize to you two gentlemen. Would you like to sit down and have dinner with me? He never ran for president.
Wow. You know what? Speaking of the president, Inspector, bringing up Johnny Gosch, I got to wrap this up quick. Johnny Gosch, that's another whole story. What about the homosexual ring visiting the White House under Reagan and Bush? They came and they would come and go at will. people, we're about to run out of time, but I'd just like to make one. We're going to get the inspector back on the show probably in about 2 to 3 weeks after I come back from New York. But the point I would like you people to know is this Halloween isn't just a plaything. There's evil. You may not believe in demons. Inspector and I both have dealt with evil up close and personal. It exists. And it exists, people, in the very highest echelons of society, of banking, of transnational corporations, and of Washington, D.C. It goes to Washington, D.C., to the White House, and even above. That's the point I want you to know. These are these people in Washington, D.C., that a lot of you people look up to and you worship. Whether some of you are heroes, you're heroes of the GOP. Some of them are the heroes of the Democrats. There are no heroes there, people. Evil is ruling that Washington, D.C. is permeated with it. And Inspector Rothstein, I'd like to get you to tune in and sum up any things that you would like to talk about, any last ideas you'd like to make, any points you'd like to make before we have to let you go. But I want to get – I'll call you back and get you back on at a future as fast as possible in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But go ahead and make up your last point or two.
Well, I was very much involved in the Johnny Gosch kidnapping, and that is one of 4 or 5 cases that are all – tied to each other, which goes back to a situation where people in our intelligence community were using kids to compromise. People ended up killing 3 little boys. And like I said, I was at the State Select Committee on Crime and served them with a subpoena, and they invoked national security on us. That's the level that we took this to.
Inspector, we used to have a photograph with President George Bush kissing the head of the probably Johnny Gosch. Well, Inspector, we've run completely out of time. I hate that the interview was so short, but I'd like to thank you so much for coming on, and we will have to take up this when we come bring you back the next time. Your career is just huge, and there's just too much to cover in a short amount of time. But God bless you, Inspector. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show tonight.
And thank you for having me, Ed.
You've done a wonderful job. God bless you. It's a miracle you're still alive. Well, people, that was the one and only Jim Rothstein. I'm sure I didn't do justice to the interview. Not like a great Sam Bushman could have done. But I hope you got the point of what I was trying to make, the evil in the high places.
And especially right before Halloween, that's an interview that Eddie typically does on Halloween. I think Rothstein has been on a few Halloween shows, and that this one has been in the works for a few weeks.
He's a great guy.
Carved off some time on a very busy broadcasting year. Especially this month with election right around the corner. But we wanted to do that. And anyway, the last word of the show tonight, it goes to Matt the Copperhead. Matt the Copperhead, one of our friends and brothers and correspondents, and he was up there with us in Cleveland at the RNC this summer. And he's been an asset to the show for a long time. So on this anniversary show, we come back now full circle after the Rothstein interview to take one more look back while looking ahead with Matt the Copperhead. Matt, your reflections on 12 years in the business.
Oh, how's it going, guys? It's Matt the Copperhead. Fantastic. Another year down and moving forward. Man, Eddie, what a phenomenal interview. That was pure class. Always enjoy
Thank you very much.
Rothstein on. And the important part of it is that, you know, we take a lot of flack for being, we all do, especially, you know, they want to launch anti-Semitic slurs at us. But, you know, having Inspector Rothstein and him talk about his partner that went into the absolute cesspool and did the right thing, you know, we can work with tremendous Ashkenazis also that do a lot of good. And anyone that's going to do good in the world for everyone, we can stand behind and join forces.
You got that right. You got that right, Matt. I really appreciate that. I wish I could have done a better job interview. It felt kind of rushed.
We're just getting some breaking news now.
Are you kidding me?
I have not been able to confirm this, but it comes from Sam, who always double sources. Paid to slay Hillary connected to the sale of to the body parts business. Look, we don't have all the details on that.
Yep.
This is just coming out. But, folks, what I'm saying is,
Kosovo. Kosovo, not to cut you off, but Pristina, Kosovo, Albanian mafia harvesting organs and also going into Israel and throughout the market all over the world.
You are absolutely right, Matt. And also, they were linked to selling.
Wow.
They knew blood was tainted with AIDS, and they sold that blood to the Canadians when Clinton
was and there. That's not what we wanted to have Matt on for, but it just goes to show, folks, every hour something breaks. Matt, we only have 60
How
seconds
evil can
left.
You get? That, Rothstein couldn't even make that up.
Well, we don't even have 60 seconds. Matt, I wish we had more time. We didn't have enough time for anybody tonight. We were trying to cram so much in. But, Matt, I want to thank you right here in these final seconds, and I wish we had more time for you tonight.
God
Call in
you,
next
Matt.
Week. We'll do it. Thank you for the role you play in this show too, Matt. You're part of the family, and we're lucky to have you. And we want to talk to you more next week. I'm sorry we didn't get time sooner.
That's the real deal.
But we're out of time. Eddie, I love you. Happy Halloween, everybody. We'll see you next week. Last show before the election, 1 week from tonight. For the entire Cesspool family, I'm James Edwards. We love you.